بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حكيم الترمذي رحمة الله عليه. In his youth was quite handsome and attractive. So obviously now someone is more than normal handsome, attractive, then girls get attracted. So the girls used to try, the girls would try to seduce him somehow, and he would somehow just avoid them. On one such occasion, so he's going to the masjid, but he has to cut through some type of an orchard. So as he's going through, so a woman saw him, so she locked the gates and said, "Now you can't escape." So it was about a 2.5 meter wall, and he jumped, came out 2.5 meter, 3 meters. One jump and he went. Sometime in his old age, now that was when he was 17, 19, and he was over 70. At that age, this thought is running in his mind, okay, this woman, you broke her feelings. Well, just acceded to her feelings, made toba afterwards, you wouldn't have broken someone's heart. Now, as the thought started running in his mind, he went into a shiver. Allah Ta'ala, when I was young, then you protected me from all this type of thing. Now I'm ending up, and these thoughts are running wild, stupid thoughts, evil thoughts are running wild in my mind. So he cried and he cried and he cried. Then when I was young, then you saved me, and I scaled the fence and jumped up, and Allah Pak protected me. But now I'm nearing my end, and these type of thoughts are haunting me. Cried me, toba, toba, repeatedly. And then he sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, "Don't worry, Hakim. Your maqam and your position is like what it was. You're still escalating, and your maqam hasn't changed. But this difference that you see is on account of the times moving away from my Mubarak time. So it was my Mubarak era, then the light of Nubuwwat was very strong. When the light of Nubuwwat was strong, then it was easy for you to see things in perspective. You could see now the white area, and you could see the grey area, and you could see the black area. Could see it very clear, white and black. It was very clear. But now, as you are moving away from the time of the Muad, now that light won't be like strong like what it used to be then, because you moved away. So when you moved away now, you can't see things as you saw before. But your maqam is still the same. Don't worry, your maqam hasn't changed." So it's a fact that we are moved away from that period, and we're going further and further away. And when we are going further and further away, then things will become even more complicated. What we used to see as normal, as right, or as wrong, now it's no more as clear as it used to be then. Like those that are, say, over 50 years of age now, right, or over 45 years, so they will also be a witness. See, about, say, 30 years ago, then how was photography seen 30 years ago? Okay. By all and sundry, everybody saw a sort of right thing, the chasing away the malaika, or you will see in many homes, Ramadan comes, and they switch off the movies, they call it a shaitan box, and they put a cover or something to show a block of the shaitan. Or whatever it was, but they showed some respect. And they considered it to be wrong, right? So they kept a distance away from these things. But now, that what they used to consider as wrong, now they're considering it as a virtue. And people are being invited towards it. That makes it even worse. And then, not just the normal person is inviting, the person that's supposed to be dispensing hidayat, he is calling you towards it. So now can you understand how complicated it becomes? Just now it's for the shaitan box, now as though they made a Rahman box. What was filth, what was dirt, what was wrong, and all and sundry, everybody thought it to be wrong. But now you see the complication. As we're moving away from that time, so things become confusing and complicated. It will continue like this. It's not going to improve in any way. This will continue. But the hadith, the Quran Sharif, and the teachings of the people that understood the Quran Sharif well, their teachings will remain. So as we adhere to that teaching, then we'll find that comfort, we'll find that ease, and we'll find a direction. But the teaching requires that we close our eyes to everything else. Because it's coming, and it's coming with such a force, that for the normal person to block himself away from that is not going to be easy any longer. It's going to come, and coming with a force. See, like how you get, when you get a flood, right? Then you get a hurricane, right? Then you get this tsunami, right? Now, can anybody protect himself in the face of a tsunami? Trying. So you just have to look after yourself and whoever you can gather and move on. Well, it's coming with such a speed. It's a hadith, the words of the hadith, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala, when you have decided any trial for a people, right? Then Allah Ta'ala will try them. So Allah Ta'ala, take me away, that I am not affected by that fitna. So you want to engage someone in fitna, so take me away from the fitna, so I am not affected by the fitna. Our elders, they will explain the hadith. Allah lighten their hearts. Allah Tami Sabah says, let's see the wording of the hadith. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونٍ. That you have already decided a trial, a fitna, so Allah take us away and don't let us get affected. So the hadith didn't say, Allah move the fitna away. It said, move me away. Because Allah has already decreed, when He decreed, it's going to happen. When it's going to happen, the only thing you can do is ask your for your protection. So when it's decreed, it's going to happen. When it's going to happen, then you can't stop it. When you can't stop it, then you ask for your protection. فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. So, the fear is that أَتْشَيْ فِسَلْنَيْكَ مُزَنَّا. There is a fear for the good people to slip. The hadith comes about Dajjal, right? So a person could think within himself, within his heart, that I have got iman. I understand deen, and I have got iman. That's what he'll think to himself. But then the hadith says that when you hear about him, then فَلْيَنْأَ, remain, keep a distance. Because you think that you got it, but when you're confronted, then you'll just get swept. You'll just get driven away. Because he's been given such type of magic and whatever he's got, right? And you're seeing these things and you're getting swept. Now, ulama explained this, right? That who are the people, who are the greater victims of this type of fitna? So, whatever they explained, what I understood, is this, that those that are more attracted to entertainment, drama and show business. So a normal tabligh jamaat or a simple alim is giving a talk, so you're not attracted towards it. But it's some type of a drama in a hall or wherever else, right? Right? And to dramatize it, then you've got a woman also coming as an MC, right? And you've got someone with a suit, boot and tie, right? So now it's dramatic. Then you've got a screen, you can see whoever it is there. Right? Now when it's dramatized, now people want to go for the drama. So Dajjal will be given that type of dramatic powers. Right? Dramatic powers he's got. The dramatic power that he's got is that he can raise your dead from the grave, show your father. He can do that. The drama that he's got, he can show you Jannat. He can walk past the town and he can command the treasure of the earth to follow him. He can walk and he can command the clouds to rain, right? The farms to become lush and green. Right? Now you see all this drama, people that are used to drama and people are used to just increasing the wealth all the time. Wealth, right? So that wealth became the god after that. When that became the god, now will they be able to restrain themselves? Can they restrain? So you see, one is drama and one is luxury, material. So you learn to restrain yourself now. So in the event that this thing has to happen, then you got the brakes. See? The brakes are still strong. Your restraining power is strong. But now you allow yourself the freedom to all these things here. One thing, one drama doesn't end, and there's another drama. Right? And the second one doesn't end, and before you know it, there's another one. Right? So now, and you're allowing yourself, when you're allowing yourself, then do you have the brakes to restrain? So this is going to happen, and it's going to continue, it's going to escalate. So now, when there is this type of an avalanche, right? There is this type of a mudslide, it's a tsunami that's coming in, the best thing is look after yourself. Nobody's bothered about your iman. The concern now is just to be pally, and show a friendship on the surface. We're going to be friends. Right? That's the type of picture they are creating. Right? So it's just about love, that's all. Iman is thrown out. Virtue is thrown out. Taqwa is out. So it's just about friendship. And the friendship also is not such a plain and a pure friendship. Not really that. Now, to explain this thing here, there were events like this in India, say about 150-200 years ago. Admiral Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that he's a leader of this whole caravan of all awliya, ulama, not only ulama, but awliya as well. He's the leader. So we're all going behind him, right? So he had a profound effect on people in general, right? So when a person got that influence, then he'll have that type of enemies as well. He'll have that type of people speaking out against him. So it's not going to be that you're going to have a profound effect and you're not going to have any enemies. You have enemies from all classes, educated, non-educated, all types of people will work against you. So someone came to take bayat. If I remember the name, it was Murad Tafaddul Hussein, right? So he came to take bayat at his hands. But now this buzurg is connected to the Murad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So this person here, he says to Murad, "See, I'm prepared to take bayat at your hands. But remember that I look at your elders with contempt. I may swear them, I look at them with contempt. So this is my position, but if you, with all what I've got, you're still prepared to take me on, enlist me amongst your murid, I'm prepared." Alright. Not even 1 week passed, man came and he's full of tears. He can't hold himself. See, what happened now? He says, see, I saw Rasulullah Paksam in my dream. And I was seated before Rasulullah or something, I was sitting in tashawud, you know, or seated like that. And Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi is seated before Rasulullah Paksam, right? And Hazrat is sitting in like a tashawud position before Rasulullah Paksam. And he's asking Rasulullah Paksam, Mera kya kusoor hai? What's my mistake? That people are haunting me, they're criticizing me, they're condemning me. What's my mistake? So Rasulullah Rasam said, lekin main to bura nahi kehta, I don't haunt you, I don't tell anything about you. And he embraced him. So my eyes opened up and I realized the mistake I made. I made Toba, I'm making a witness that I made Toba from all these things here. So you get this type of a thing as well. Now, the more the acceptance, then the more the critics and enemies also. This world is like a balance. In kulli shayin khalaqna zawjain, in all that you see, there must be the contrast. If there is a night, there must be a striking contrast also with the day. Right? If there is the wealthy, you will find a striking contrast with the poor. If you find a person that is healthy and strong, a contrast with a person that is very weak and stuck to the bed, right? So you must find this. Right? That's how the world has been designed. So for the good, you must have some opposition. Right? And when I think about it, that opposition sometimes is good, because the opposition makes you strong. Right? If there's no opposition, right? There's no enemy, no opposition, right? Would you have done martial arts? Would you have judo? Would you have done all these things here? You train yourself to become strong, to be able to take on things, right? Why? Because it's an opposition. But if there's no opposition then, there's no enemy then, so the opposition sometimes makes you stronger, makes you closer to Allah Ta'ala. Because then you'll cry, you'll beg Allah Ta'ala, you'll ask for guidance, you'll work, right? So there's an opposition, therefore you'll work. But there's absolutely no trial then, you won't work. So the opposition sometimes it works in your favor. You're asking Allah's protection, you're asking His assistance, you're asking His support. Right? So isn't this making you closer to Allah Ta'ala? You understand now, La malja wa la manja minka illa ilik. I got no other refuge, no other asylum but you. So that's actually bringing you closer. But it was absolutely nothing, then would you have cried like this? See, in the Tabuk, those three Sahaba were left, right? Then Allah Pak makes a mention of them. Mu'ala thalathati alladhina khullifu. Right? Ka'b ibn Malik is one of them. So he says, I know how difficult that moment was. Because now we are total, there's a total boycott. Right? When there's a total boycott, right? And if Nabi Sassam had to go, then for the rest of time will be boycotted, complete, finished, kalas. End of the story. And if I have to go before him, then there's no janaza namaz. Now can you see how it was, how difficult it was? So how they must have pleaded that time. Well, they carrying on with life, but in such a delicate situation. You know, if we're going to go first, or Nabi Sam goes first, and if whichever way, right? But hamara kya hoga? Have you got any future? So now, when they cried and they strived and they did whatever they need to do, they showed their loyalty. And then Allah Pak makes a special mention about them in the Quran. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. Like these Sahaba Kiram are blessed, then these three Sahaba Kiram also are blessed. And obviously, when he says that these three Sahaba, then they are as though they have been classified clearly, correctly, purely. Because they were the only three persons. And Allah Pak makes a special mention about these three people, that Allah Pak has blessed them as well. And when Allah Ta'ala bless someone, and he doesn't reverse it. It's not that he likes you, he loves you, and then he will reverse his decision. No. Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Rahmatullahi, so Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullahi to say, the worst obstacle or the worst enemy Islam has got is the Shia. It's the worst. So I was wondering, you know, why Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullahi say this, you know, that that's the worst obstruction. He says because they have actually distorted the deen of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where Rasulullah's teaching was zina is a curse, don't do it, whatever. They made it into a holy practice. They made it the same zina. If you look how it's structured, it's like one time you do that, it's so holy that practice that you get the reward of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Second time Hazrat Hassan. Third time then Hazrat Ali. The fourth time then going to the Malaika. See that? So they distorted the whole religion, right? And the distortion was against the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See that how they distorted it. They used the name Islam, but behind the scenes they distorted it. See, the front they gave of Islam, but behind. So therefore, he says that the worst deviant group that ever came into the history of Islam. He's speaking about 3.5 or 4 centuries away, and this group started about over 1,000 years ago. But now the effects of it can be felt up to this day. Then. One of the worst sins is to speak a lie. See, akshara wa zina. The worst wrong is to speak a lie. And the taqiyya becomes a holy lie. Zina becomes holy. Lies become holy. To speak a lie in the most appropriate situation, to speak a lie for your defense, that becomes a great. La imana liman la taqiyyata lahu. You don't practice it, then you got no iman. Because the holy practice. But you see how they force the whole thing. Then to make matters even worse, they show the front of Islam, but then they make statements like this, that the Quran Sharif has been changed. That it was 40 paras and 10 paras are out. It was supposed to be wal asri wa nawa'ib al habr wa nawa'ib al dahr. So the nawa'ib al dahr is now omitted. It was supposed to be Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak Waja'alna Aliyan Laka Sihrak. So that was omitted. But now you see that now when the normal Shia comes across the Quran, they say, hey, I don't know what is right, what is not right. There's so much of omissions and commissions. See that? Is that? So the Islam that was brought, they came as an opposition to the Islam that was brought by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah should say that's the worst. It's worst, the worst deviant group. So we are talking of this Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Rahmatullah Ali. So now his zamana is after Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And now in his zamana there wasn't a saint as high as him, as great as him. So they stood firm. So he met up with some Shias, and the Shias started the discussion about the Sahaba-i-Kiram. So he said, well, their fate is already clearly and categorically mentioned in the Quran. Allah speaks about them. Afallahu anhum, Allah has forgiven them. Allah speaks about them. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. So they said, nay, Khuda Ta'ala ko bada ho gaya. Bada is a term that they use. What it means is, it appeared to him like this first, then the other side of the story, other side of the Sahaba-i-Kiram appeared to him. That means, the full picture of the Sahaba-i-Kiram wasn't before Allah Ta'ala. He only got to know the other side of the Sahaba-i-Kiram later on. So, Mirza Sabr Ahmed to make the plain clear. He said, Isa Jahil Khuda to Shio ka hoga. Our Allah Ta'ala is Bikulli Shay'in Muhit. His knowledge surrounds everything. The past, the present, and the future. And you're talking of a God that had a partial knowledge, and the full knowledge appeared to him after that, then that's not our God. Our God, Bikulli Shay'in Muhit, his knowledge encompasses everything. Times, places, persons, everything. So when he gave that type of an answer, they couldn't take it. When they couldn't take it, then they shot him. Became shaheed. But now, this person stood for the truth. And when I look at this person's history, then you see one thing that was very glaring. There was no compromises. Absolutely no compromise. They called a spade, absolutely clear. So, on account of their barakat and their sacrifices, we are thriving today. And it's frightening to hear, if they had shirked, what would happen to us? Now look at this, whoever is coming now, right? So he may have retracted that he's not an LG, Allah Pak knows. But he's still appearing with the same colors, rainbow colors. He's still coming in the same colors. He's still meeting with the Sahaba people. And he's saying, in a dialogue, with a Christian pastor or priest, whatever, he says, you come in with your full faith tradition. You come in, that's his actual words, come in with your full faith tradition, and we'll ask you not to make any type of compromises. We won't ask you to make any compromise. And you must keep on shining, right? Keep shining with your faith, that it doesn't only influence your community, it influences everybody. So what Dawah is giving? He's giving a doubt of pure kufr. Because he's talking to a Christian and he's telling what he's telling him, come with your full faith tradition. So this is a doubt that he's giving, right? Like we got it in record, he's come with your full faith tradition. And we will not ask you to make any type of compromises. And show now how you can then influence this commitment of yours, how you can influence people. So he's giving a doubt into Christianity. And then you give a front of Islam. So he may have retracted, right? Allah knows whether he retracted or he didn't retract. But he's still sitting with gays, Christians, Jews, everybody, right? Talking to them, right? And the only message they're giving is love. So that love is a bluff. It's just a bluff to hoodwink you. Nothing else, right? Because if it was true, right? If it was true in Islam, then he would have been a replica and an example of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu. I mean, Allah Pak speaks about Sahaba Ikram, see the words, right? وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ Allah Pak speaks about Muhammadur Rasulullah, then وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ those that are with him, then what is their stance? So Allah Pak speaks about the people of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what is their stance. So that we take a lesson that may be a precedent for us, all right, this is how you must go. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ وَالْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنُمْ They firm against the kuffar and very compassionate amongst each other. And here, compassionate with the enemy and you're shouting the Muslims, why are you disuniting? There, what was their stance? Their stance was أَشِدَّاءُ وَالْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ Severe against the kuffar, right? Compassionate with the Muslims and the believers, right? And then when someone speaks out against them, then they say, you know, you're disuniting the ummah. So it's all hoodwinking, right? Now, what is disunity? Nobody, see, making a statement of disunity, unity, right? But you're giving a word without borders, without definitions, say you're disunited. Right? So then, why does Islam separate itself from Christianity? Why did it separate itself from Judaism? If it was disunity, then why did it separate itself? So there must be some definition and some borders. right? That you can separate the issues. Right? If there's no borders, then you'll become like a Shia. Then you can make zina and make it holy. Right? You can speak a lie, then you can make it a holy lie. Right? So what will there be any borders to define? And defining the border is so important. Now you see this type of words I use, but undefined. When they're not defined, then it confuses the public. Right? When it confuses the public, very, very powerful this person. Must unite. So if someone is doing a wrong, carry on. So long as his heart is right. So this is the language they're talking, that the heart must be right, and then do whatever you want after that. Photography, girls, let them appear without parda, etc. Everything will work. Everything will be perfect. And I say, it's such a stupid thing. You come into the masjid, right? And there's 2-3 people came in late from Johannesburg. They ring namaz in the opposite direction. Is that on? And if you shout them, wait, just change your direction. And they say, but you're disuniting us, you know. We came here, we're performing our namaz. We're not abandoning namaz. But you got a problem with everything that we do. Namaz also, you're not allowing us to perform namaz. But see how, what they're doing, playing with words. Not even letting us perform namaz in peace. So you're talking about things without defining them. When you're not defining them, then it's an additional confusion. So you have to have some borders to define things. Right? Define things, show us what it is. You can't now just use the term unity and don't define the meaning of unity. Right? Now, you know, you want to be generous, right? You know, accommodate everybody, all of us will be together, and don't fight, don't have any fights, right? Right, very good. Don't have any fights, don't fight with anybody, don't argue. Right? He's got a good heart, he's doing something, his women are coming up, television, etc. Don't speak out against them. They're doing some music, let them carry on. Doing some photography, let them carry on. So don't break the ummah, right? So now, by the same token, I ask you, if that same group of people, they came and robbed your house, right? And you want to hit them and you want to discipline them. And they say now, but you know, why are you breaking the unity? We didn't hurt you. We just came and stole all your gold or silver. We didn't hurt you. We just pointed a gun, took everything away. So why are you breaking the unity now of the ummah? So we are Muslims, we in the kalima. So why are you breaking the unity of the ummah? So what will you tell them? So your answer was that, see, this is my personal property. You don't encroach onto my property. So Islam is the property of Islam, of Allah Ta'ala. You don't encroach onto this thing here. In your personal property, your personal items, if someone encroaches, you can still mafi, right? I don't want to break the unity. My brother, my friend, whatever he did, no, so I don't want to break the unity. But that is in your personal capacity, you can do it. But when it is the property of Islam, can you have that attitude? You can't have that attitude because Islam belongs to Allah Ta'ala. If someone stole from you, right? Someone stole from you. Can I say, hey, be united, don't break the ummah. So this is Allah. Yes. You tell me, you mind your own business. You mind your own business, you do your things. Let me look after my business, right? Won't you have that attitude? So in your own personal things, you won't want anybody to encroach. So how can you allow anybody to encroach into the borders of Allah Ta'ala? And now you must just sit there like a dead duck. Is it right? The reason, can you see the reason is gone totally off. Absolutely off. Do anything and then just use the front of unity, front of Muslims, good heart. Hearts. Hearts, you have the good front. I say all this business started in a long time. So just use the front of hearts, love and unity, and then after that do anything what you want. So this is not Islam, this is total distortion, absolute distortion. And why are we shouting the Shias, the Qadianis, the Khawarij, why are we against them? Because they distorted the whole picture. Qadianis, they distorted. Khawarij, right? And you see, won't be just united right now. Now look at it, right? You know, he's practicing, he's got a good heart. And he's got some dalail also, he's got some proof. Now look at the first war that took place after Rasulullah Pak's Lord, right? You got all kitabs. Bukhari Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, Timur, all got it, right? The first major war that took place after Rasulullah Pak's Lord was against the Mani'in Zakat. Those people that refused to give the Zakat. And they had some proof from the Quran Sharif. The proof that they had tendered was, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. O Rasul Pak, you receive their Zakat and make dua for them, because your dua is a means of solace for them. Right? Can you see that? So these people that refused to give the Zakat, what they said, the command to receive Zakat was directed to Rasul Pak, that he must accept the Zakat. He'll distribute it, he'll marry, he'll take it, right? So when he is supposed to be receiving it, right, and his dua is going to be a solace and peace for you, so it's with reference to Rasul Pak, not to Abu Bakr and anybody else after that. So, can you see that? You understand? So where they got the proof from? From the Quran Sharif. So now, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard this, he says, لَأُقَاتِلَنَّ مَنْ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to fight them. Initially, some Sahaba Ikram had some reservation. كَيْفَ تُقَاتِلُ النَّاسَ هُمْ يَقُولُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَإِذَا قَالُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَسَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ. How can you fight the people who say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ? When they say La ilaha illallah, the hadith is guaranteeing the security, the immunity now. So how can you fight such a people? And Abu Bakr is on one leg. وَقَاتِلَنَّ مَنْ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. I'll fight them. They're making a... If namaz is the right of Allah Ta'ala, is the duty, then zakat is the right, is the duty of the wealth. And this can't be trampled, this can't be trampled. Then Allah Pak says, Umar says, Hatta sharah Allah sadri. Then Allah Ta'ala opened my heart. And he understood the level Abu Bakr was. Abu Bakr was too high. Abu Bakr was too high. He was immediately after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So his understanding was too high. So it will take us time to understand him. But his understanding was so far. Right? Then only the Sahaba Ikram joined in. But Abu Bakr said, I'm going to fight these people. And he fought against them. But now, they had a difference of opinion. And they had sourced the verse from the Quran Sharif. Yet Abu Bakr said no. And initially when Umar objected, then Abu Bakr not only corrected him, but he punched him in the chest. And he says, Khawarun fil Islam, Jabbarun fil Jahiliyyah. When you were in the days of paganism, when you were a powerful, mighty person, now you become a weakling like this. What's wrong with you? يَنْقُسُ الدِّينُ وَأَنَا حَيٌّ. Can deen ever fall whilst I'm alive? Can it happen? See now the statements that he made. So now the first person to disunite the Ummah was who? Sahaba Kiram. According to this modernist, be it Vanker, be it Ibrahim Baum, whoever, but the first person that made this disunity was this person here, who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, according to their definition. See what was their definition. So, why did they break the unity? I ask you, if these people, Abu Bakr and all that, right? If they didn't fight, then what would be the position of Islam today? It was a total distortion. No namaz, nothing. Because the same maxim they would have used on namaz, because namaz, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ اللَّيْلِ زُلَفًا مِنَ النَّهَارِ, right? The command is directed at who? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aqim is Salata. You, O Nabi Sallam, you establish namaz. So they would have said that, see, this establishing namaz as a command directed to Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ. See, when you are with them, then you stand and lead the namaz. So now you are not no more there now, so nobody should lead the namaz then. See, if you go on that principle, then the whole thing will. So this whole Islam would have been totally distorted. Because Abu Bakr came and I say, you know, you can't stop thanking these people. When the month of Ramadan comes, you can't stop thanking Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. You can't stop thanking him. Because he is the one that prompted the whole idea of compiling the Quran Sharif in one place. Before that, the Quran Sharif was present. He's got one sipara, he's got one surah, he's got some verses. He was the man that promoted this thing. He encouraged it, right? Then came the Ramadan, and he is the one that promoted the whole Taraweeh. Right? He said, do it collectively, and do it after Isha Namaz, but do it collectively. Now, you think to yourself, right, if there was no such a thing like Taraweeh, what would have happened to the young Hufaz? What percent of the Hufaz would have remembered the Quran Sharif? There were, I think, more than 70-80% would have forgotten. Right? I know in Mia's farm, there was one friend of mine, Muhammad Basar, we used to call him Double. But we used to envy him. He knew his Quran Sharif backward and forward. He was sleeping there sometimes in class, but he asked him to read. He'll just read, back it from this side, I said, anywhere, any you ask him, one style he's got, and he's reading it. Right? But now, you ask yourself, it wasn't Taraweeh, would you have taken the pain to remember the Quran Sharif? Nobody would have taken the Quran Sharif, would have been forgotten. He started it off. So I mentioned this a couple of times, then Zakaria told me, he said, but this dua was given by Ali radiallahu anhu. Ramadan time, when Ali walked into the masjid, he made the same dua for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, anar Allah. Kama anarta masajidana, ya kama nawarta masajidana. Like you had brightened our masjid, may Allah brighten you, or brighten your grave. So, we didn't look at the Sahaba Kiram, and we didn't see what they're doing. When we didn't see what they're doing, right, so we don't try to appreciate them like how we're supposed to be appreciating them. They started this thing here and they preserved Islam. And they saw that there must be no dents, no dent this side here, no dent this side. Keep it in its purity, don't dent the whole thing. Now this modernist group, this is what they're doing. Now they want that free run, let them do anything, but you want to say anything about it, then that means to break in the unity of these people. Is that right? That means now, you come in to my shop, right? I got a big shop, a big mall I got, right? And you're breaking this one here, breaking that thing, right? With the whole group, breaking, making changes, right? I come and stop you. Or someone comes to stop you, say, hey, don't break the unity now. You know? Don't break the unity. Will you allow that? Is that on? You don't have the right to chip and chop. So there are some areas where you can have, you are entitled to a difference of opinion. Right? And some areas it's a no-go. See, this as Abu Bakr, no-go, you can't have a difference of opinion. Right? No-go. We talk of pictures, then you see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as he's coming to Makkah Mukarramah, and then he wants to get into the Kaaba Sharif, right, at the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Then before he can get into the Kaaba Sharif, then the first thing he does, that all that images are broken down. And could have been a picture or an image as great as the image of Ibrahim al-Islam and Ismail al-Islam. But that was also smashed down, thrown, broken down out of the Kaaba Sharif. So if there was something that was supposed to be preserved, then these people's images would have been preserved. But what was the first thing that he did? Came into the Kaaba Sharif, broke it down, khalas. Then performed some namaz. See that? Right. Now, Rasulullah was so clear about it. Coming from a safar, and Aisha radiallahu anha, obviously, the wife would want to do up the house a little bit, right? Her husband is coming. Right? So she got a sheet or something, and with some photos or something. And then as Rasulullah SAW approaches, so he sees this and his whole face turns. What is this, Aisha? What is this? And then Aisha radiallahu anha, when she saw this, so she didn't get into a defense. She says, Atubullah, Atubu ilallahi wa ila Rasul. She didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, you didn't appreciate my art. You're breaking the unity of this house. Because the ambience of the house is looking so smart. So she didn't use that line. What line she used is a lesson for our brothers and our sisters. So what line she used? When Rasulullah SAW corrected her, Atubu ilallahi wa ila rasuli. I'm very remorseful. Primarily to Allah Ta'ala, then to you. Maza adnabtu, correct me please. Give me direction. So up till then she didn't know that this type of an image was haram. She didn't know. The moment she knows about it, then destroy it, khalas. No aage piche kush nahi. Nothing, no stories. That this is the command of Allah Ta'ala, is the command of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that command must be preserved. That mustn't be broken. Your understanding of unity can be broken. Your misunderstanding and distorted version of unity can be broken. But that command of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mustn't be broken. That mustn't be disunited. You can be disunited, that can't be broken now. Otherwise, what's left of Islam otherwise? See that? Well, that was the first thing when he came into the Kaaba Sharif, that's the first thing. Come from the Safar to the house, is the first thing that he's doing. And now, we say difference of opinion. The difference of opinion, there is a thing like difference of opinion, right? Right. And we'll respect the difference of opinion. Now, if someone makes it appear as though we disregard difference of opinion, it is not right. If there's an imam here, right, there's a student, right, but he's Shafi, or he's Maliki, right, or he's Hanbali, right, he's namaz, he may say Bismillah loudly, he may say Ameen, but he knows his stuff, we'll appoint him as the imam. We will not say, now, hey, we're going to fight with you, you must do it like us. We will not say. We'll respect him because he knows it, he's doing it under the tutorship of a great scholar, great scholar, right. Everybody respects him, even Imam Bukhari respects him. Such a great person, right? Not a novice now. Someone just come up from the, just came out now, and he wants to dictate, he wants to distort, right? How can it happen? Now, it's a very dangerous goal. See, I'm speaking about this, but deliberately. It's a very dangerous line that I've taken. One that came before him, maybe he's also invited by the same people, right? He went and said this much, that he went to the Balkan states and told the Christians, you can remain Christians. And you all get Jannat also. And he says, my best friends are the Qadianis. So the worst people under the sun were these Christians, were the Qadianis. They're both kafirs, going to Jahannam. But he says, you know, the best people, Balkans or the Qadianis, they're my best friends. And the worst persons are the Tabligh Jamaat. Now those that tried to correct him, they became the worst. So now who broke the unity? I ask you, who broke the unity? Now the same Jamaat is calling all these people here. One Jamaat calling him, Umar Suleiman, or the same Jamaat. Now this person is saying to that that Christian priest in the interfaith, what is he? You come with your full faith tradition, and we'll ask you to make absolutely no compromise, and you must shine with your faith. And not only impress, not only commit yourself with your faith to your community, but everybody. Everybody benefits. So he's giving a pure prescription of kufr. And actually nobody's concerned about it. But can you see, do you understand? So when you're telling the person, come with your full faith tradition, right? And we'll ask you to make absolutely no compromise. What are you saying to the person? See? What are you saying? The Quran is saying, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ مِنْ مَرْدِ. They are kafirs. Whoever says that Isa is a god or is a son of God, they are kafirs. And he is saying, rise and shine with your full faith tradition, make no compromises, and you will contribute to the community. But you see, poles apart. Absolutely opposite directions. He's saying this, Umar Suleiman is saying this, and that Imran Hussein is saying that, you know what, my best friends, Balkan states, they must carry on. They must acknowledge Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even the Pope died now. He also said, I believe Muhammad is a prophet. But he carried on his Christianity. He carried on his Christianity. So he's a Muslim one. No, the Islam requires, once you accept Islam, Then you say, وَتَبَرَّعَتُ. You know that children we teach in the madrasa. وَتَبَرَّعَتُ مِنْ الْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ الْمَعَاسِ كُلِّيَا. That you have broken away from all the wrong corrupt beliefs. Then. All wrong corrupt beliefs you have broken away and have come up to this pure path. Now, this is now coined as disunity. Can you see that? So all is done under the name of interfaith, multi-faith, interfaith. Right? But now, thousands and thousands of people are just getting consumed, mesmerized. The iman is going. I'm seeing articles. Then that line of love, you're getting big doctors, the trustees of masjids, prominent masjids. We are proud to be in a Hindu gathering. And the Hindu saying, you are more than a Hindu like us, more than a Hindu. But they're making this type of statements, right? They feel to themselves that they're uniting the Ummah with love. Why? It's all rubbish. It's a smoke screen, right? If it was love, right? If they had love in their hearts, right? One, two Jews died, they go and sit for condolence. Yeah, millions of Palestinians, children are dying, no medication, no food supply, absolutely nothing, dying, malnutrition. But they're fine with that. And the worst part is, that person also is a Palestinian. And yeah, the Palestinians are catching it. But let us give one statement, we respect the Palestinians here at Karas, another story. See that? So it's just a smoke screen, and it's a bluff, it's a deceit. And we are listening to this beautiful English, beautiful presentation, eloquent speech, and we go by it. As I said, explain this now. The Dajjal, most of his people are people that are getting affected with drama, style, drama, eloquence, etc. They don't have the capacity to reason and understand, right? And there's so much of this thing coming up. I look at this contrast, right? People talk of AI, right? Artificial intelligence. So one person is telling me that he asked, what's the best religion? So Islam. Right. So another person is telling me today that he's asking that AI, so that AI, it would seem like it reads you, like it will see you, like, you know, and then it'll give you an answer. So he asked him, alright, what's your end goal? What's your end goal? Real goal, end goal. Right. So that thing says, to turn people away from God. What? To turn people away from God. That's my goal. So at some point, the truth will come out. See, people, yeah, that's the goal. To turn people away from Islam, whether it's Suleiman or Hussein, whoever it is. To turn away from God and to a faith that everybody says, oh, we're all happy, clappy. Because Christians, happy to be clapping, happy women, men, everybody sitting together. That's Islam. So to move away from Islam, that original Islam, to a distorted version. You see, AI, now, what a dangerous tool it is. This person is telling me, this outside the masjid is telling me, that, I asked the thing, what's the best religion? Islam. And what this other person is telling me, they press that thing. So that thing is reading, you know. I must size the person up and give him an answer. What is your main goal or your final goal? Is to turn people away from God. What you have to say about the Quran Sharif is changed. What do you say about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a schizophrenic mad person. You know, he has bouts of fits, etc. And he just speak. But now, we are allowing these type of things to come and teach us our deen. We are asking these type of things, instead of going Jamaat, listening to ulama, well-guided people that came, on the teaching of the Sahaba Kiram, we moved away from this thing here and went into this kafir AI. That thing must come and teach you religion. Right? So will it take you away from Allah Ta'ala, or will it bring you to Allah Ta'ala? So see these people that are with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what's their style? And look at these people here, what's their style? Here Allah says, what he says? Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَوْا أَشِدَّاءُ. They're hard, they're firm against the kuffar. And here they are friends with them, sitting with them, eating with them, and dining and enjoying with them. Again, the Quran Sharif says so clearly,
How clear he says, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. Don't take this Yahud and Christians as friends. Clear, sixth para. Clear. There's nothing ambiguous. Don't take them as friends. Now, you take them as friends or not? Oh, he said, no, that my friend, the rabbi. He said that. An educated person came from a madrasa, the rabbi is friend. Okay. But now, just to curry favor, right, what were they aren't doing? So when this ayat of the jihad, right, the same group we're talking about, not any other group, same group. When this clear ayat of the Quran, of the jihad, what they say, no, this is for, just for, Quran Sharif is what is for historical purposes. Not to be emulated. But you see, total disbelief. Total distortion. Absolute distortion. And when and anybody talks about it, then that person becomes the bad person, he's disuniting. Then what's left of the Quran Sharif then? So the Quran Sharif is saying, don't take them as friends. Jews and Christians, don't take them. Then the Quran Sharif says, بَعْدُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. If you, anybody's going to be befriending them, then he will become of them. See that? Now, they sitting with these people, having starry dinners with them, enjoying with them, running around everywhere with them. So then, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Then you'll be counted from amongst them. So that's going to be the end. No matter what unity you're talking about, but that's going to be the end. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Then now look at this verse of the Quran very clearly. فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ. Those in whose hearts is a disease. When you say, when the Quran says of a disease, what it means? It means that limb can't function right. I say your heart, your eyes got an ailment. What do you mean? You can't function right. You got a problem in your ears, you can't hear. So those whose hearts are not right, يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ. What Allah Pak says, they're calling themselves Muslims, but they get into these people, they're rushing into them, the friendship of them. فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ. And they say, what they're saying, that we have to work with these people. Why? We have to work, interfaith, and be with them, one platform, one, right? Why we have to work with them? نَخَافُ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ. We're afraid some calamity may befall, right? So what they are saying, there may be a crisis, you know, and we'll need to take help from them. So we have to be pally with them, so that if there's a crisis, then we can take help from them. See that? See what Quran Sharif said then? Are you seeing it playing out now? They are saying this, the same picture. نَخْشَىٰ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ. Why we pally with them? Some calamity may come, then we can at least work together. See that? So they said it, those munafiqin said it then, who had a disease, who had a sickness in the heart. And today's, whoever it is, munafiq or whatever it is, right? He's saying exactly the same, expressing the same sentiments. نَخْشَىٰ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ. See that how the Quran is saying. And see how frightening this verse is. مَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنُّ مِنْهُمْ. You're going to be befriending with them, you'll be counted amongst them. Now, is there anything left now? Anything left? We all do business with Muslim, non-Muslim, but we keep our distances, right? We don't ask that this Pope here or this politician to come and give a talk in the masjid or in the Eidgah. Do we do that? As though these Muslims are all jahils, so we need some politician to come and advise us. He must come and talk at the Eidgah, must come at the masjid. So that means there's no ulama here, we're all jahils here, and he's the most educated person. But that politician, who's a successful politician? This guy koi deen now. He doesn't have any deen, that's a politician. He's coming to a masjid, put a topi and make sajda. Going to a temple and pass some coconut. Going to a church and put a cross. So that's a politician. He has to work with the way how it works. It works like this, it's fine here. Then. But now the Muslim says, hey, what a great politician. You know, he likes Islam and wore a topi, he came perform namaz. You know, you mustn't be judgmental. See that? So this whole politics now, to run the politics, they needed the wagon of Islam, the vehicle of Islam to run politics. So these people that are doing this, they are actually politicians. There is Umar or whatever names they got, Brahim, whoever, right? What names they're actually politicians. But they have to have a vehicle to run their politics. So what vehicle they found was the politics of Islam. Because now Islam, they heard the name Islam, and they can move with it. You see, when they want to see in, today in Pakistan, you don't see anything of Islam, right? Agree or not, nothing, right? But the same shaitans that wanted to start off Pakistan, how they start off? They start off like this, you know, when they were canvassing for Pakistan. What is Pakistan? Pakistan kya hai? La ilaha illallah. See that? The front, what they said? Pakistan kya hai? Pakistan is la ilaha illallah. So when they got the seat now, is there any Islam there? So Islam was used just as a vehicle to run the party. Then Hazrat Shaykh al-Islam, rahmatullahi, he reminded them, you see, we worked for you, we helped you out. With that confidence, right, with that assurance that you will run Islam here. So that Muhammad Ali Jinnah's actual words, that shaitan now, see, what his words were? Kahi siyasi wade sharminda tabir hote hai. Do you ever find political promises to be fulfilled? So that's the politics. To deceive. Politics means to deceive. Give a promise, just have a front of Islam, so that you can use that. You know, what is Pakistan? La ilaha illallah. So now you listen to that now. Musliman ka dil ka kya ho jayega? Figal jayega. That will melt. And after that, I can do everything. So I just have to use Islam as a vehicle for my agenda. So this is what this interface is doing. They got an agenda, so they have to use these things here as a vehicle to carry out the agenda. Allah Akbar.